something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara, and we're going to get you financially fit for 2022. Enda McGuinness is on the line from InvestWise. This is quite an achievement to make now, 2022. Or do you think it is achievable, Enda?
To get financially fit for 2022?
Yeah.
I think it is achievable. Yeah. I think it can be achieved.
Right.
It can be achieved by most people.
Where do we start?
The best way to start is by setting out what your plan is. What are your objectives for 2022? What are your life objectives, and then how do you link them to your financial objectives? We set out what do we want to spend our money on in 2022. We look and see what our income is likely to be for 2022, and then we match them up and see what our cash flow planning looks like. Yeah. Setting our objectives is the best way to achieve what we want to do and get control of our finances.
For somebody like yourself, it must sound so simple, like it's a very easy thing to do, but I think a lot of us we go, oh God, things come up that are unexpected and money goes on this, and then something happens in the house and the car breaks down and we're just not prepared.
Yeah. How do we do that? So what we advise clients all the time is that they should look first to build up an emergency fund. Okay. So that's a fund that sits in the bank that doesn't earn any interest, that doesn't grow, but it's there in case of emergency. Okay. That should take care of unexpected breakdowns in the car or an unexpected illness or if I need a new washing machine or something like that. So we look to see what potential expenditure could we have in any given year and what unexpected events might arise. And then we see, right, well, how much do we think they might cost? What might I contribute to that each month now to build me up to a fund that will allow me to meet those unexpected expenditures without taking a serious hit to my finances, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of estimate that, an emergency fund, a good solid emergency fund, is different for most people, but, we look at around 6 months kind of current expenditure. Once you've got to that amount, you probably have a decent-ish emergency fund.
Because December is a particularly difficult month for so many people. All the money's going out. Mm. Even December last year, I'll never forget it, Enda, our boiler went on the 26th of December, which was just perfect timing, But this happens all the time for people, actually, in December. Probably people listening right now, and their boiler has just broken.
Yeah. So what did they do in that case?
Oh, the credit union, of course.
Yeah. Well, the credit union can help. Our own posts are actually quite competitive, I think, with loans at the minute. But I suppose that shows the value of having an emergency fund to cater for unexpected events. December is a particular time when there's a lot of money to be spent between presents and social engagements that maybe not so much this year, but in any given year. So I think one of the first areas that the majority of people look to have is how can we get control of our finances, give ourselves a bit of peace of mind. If you can see what the future looks like, in terms of your finances, or you can predict what might look like in the short term, then you've got a much better chance of achieving whatever your short and medium term objective might be, Having a plan in place is what really helps, and it removes a certain amount of fear and gives you a level of comfort around how to achieve what your objective might be.
I think a lot of people, Enda, are terrified of writing it down to actually see what the outgoings are.
I think the exercise of actually writing down how much you have and how much you expect to spend is a great exercise. We see it all the time with clients. We're financial planners. As part of the initial exercise in that is we look to do a cash flow plan for them, where we see what their income is and what their expenditure are. Most people are very certain of what their income is. They know exactly how much they earn. The uncertainty might be around how much they spend. The reality is, though, very few people spend more than they earn because the maths don't allow for it, unless they're borrowing or unless they're eating into savings. Most people live well within their means. So when I see with clients all the time, when they send me all their cash flow details, and I produce the cash flow plan for them, and it says to me that they've got an extra €3,000 or €5,000 a year income above expenditure. And I say, so what are you doing with this €3,000, this €5,000? They're like, hold on, what's this free €5,000? I don't have an extra €5,000 a year.
Yeah.
And it's really because they haven't written down and gone through in detail what they're actually spending. They're surprised to learn that they should have a surplus income. Okay.
Yeah.
People that have a deficit are generally quite aware, but because they know what they're spending is likely more than what they're earning and that, So the exercise of actually writing down how much you spend, from grocery shopping to entertainment to education to holidays to utilities to mobile phone to all of that, that is a very useful exercise in and of itself. That tells you whether you're getting value for money in the various different categories. You might be surprised that I could actually afford to spend more in some areas and I should probably be spending less or getting better value in other areas, And it'll give you a better picture then of, right, here's what I'm going to spend each month and each quarter and each year for the next couple of years. Right, here's ones that I can now plan for. If I'm going to go on a 3 week holiday in 5 years' time when the kids are finished school, or we're going to save up for education. Kids are just starting second school and we want to save up for 5 or 6 years. Here's how much we know that we need to save for that at the minute. I want to retire a few years early. How much do I need to live on in retirement? What's my expenditure going to be in retirement? Is it going to change? Having all that information, and there, it's based on projections, so it's not guaranteed, and plans do change. But you give yourself the best chance of achieving what you want to do if you've got a plan in place,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Because it's the old saying that if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you.
It's exactly the same as even dieting, isn't it? If you have a food plan, you know exactly where, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not kind of, you know, at the last minute grabbing whatever. So how do we get through January, which is a real, like, people dread January.
Yeah.
People aren't going out anywhere, I guess, this year anyway. So how do you start these good habits for 2022 when you're so broke?
I think that the best way is by understanding exactly what you're likely to spend in a given month, okay? Now, if everything doesn't go according to plan in January, I wouldn't abandon the plan altogether. No more than the dieting, you know? You don't expect to lose all the weight in the first month or the first 2 months. You know, if you set out a year-long plan, then it's going to be months that are good and there's going to be months that are not so good. In terms of dealing with January of itself, you're unlikely to have too many unexpected events that you arise for. So you say, right, what are the basics that I need? You know, what are my fixed outgoings, like my utilities, like my rent or my mortgage or whatever the case might be? They're the amounts that I have to cover, right? What discretionary spend might I have then? Okay, so allow an amount that's prudent, but you know, not too much that you can't afford. And then say, right, well, if I get through January, so here's the basic amount I need. If I get to January, well, then February starts to look a bit easier, and then into March. Do a review at the end of March, you're 3 months into the year, and you see, right, how have I measured up against my objectives? What do I want to save for? When am I likely to need access to this money? What is my income going to be for the year? You know, have I got a view on that? That will take up a good bit of January, and it'll allow you to focus on the plan for the rest of the year, you know.
Yeah,
if you've not got so much, you know, busy life to be leading, then January can be a month for working on it itself, you know.
The exercise
will prove very useful, you know.
And are you big into doing like a spreadsheet, or does that even matter?
It helps, you know. When it's written down, you can see it in front of you, you know, you give yourself a certain level of accountability, okay? As financial planners, we use financial planning software that provides, you know, annual cash flows for our clients and that. But, you know, as the thing that clients can do themselves, if they can use spreadsheets or they can use a template, there's loads that you can find online in terms of budgeting spreadsheets. And they're quite useful, you know, in terms of they give people visibility on their finances. That's probably the thing that restricts people most, is they don't know exactly what's going on. They don't know exactly, you know, what they might have saved in a pension or what they have in a savings fund or in a life insurance product. They get these letters in the post from the various providers and they ignore them because they might be jargon heavy in that. We try to always help clients make informed decisions, and the more information you have, the better. If you've got it written down, if you reviewed it and you can say, yeah, look, I can spend a bit more here, I can earn a bit more there, then that will give you a much better informed decision, and it'll leave you with much more peace of mind, because you feel, right, now I've got some control and visibility over my finance. I don't have to worry about them as such. I might feel like to earn more and spend less, or spend more in a given month, but at least I've got some visibility of them and I feel that I'm now in control and my finances are no longer controlling me.
And just in your pointers, you mentioned about direct debits. So is January the time to kind of get organised and sort all that out?
Yeah, so well, I suppose it depends on what direct debit relates to. If it relates to, you know, various different utility bills or insurance products and that, then, you know, when they're up for annual review is always worth doing, especially with energy providers. Someone who just recently moved into a new house and had to do a search to see who is the best electricity provider, they all offer 12-month deals, and you can switch then after 12 months and they'll offer you a new customer deal. The same with car insurance or home insurance or pet insurance or cat insurance like that. They should all be reviewed. It takes 15-20 minutes. And once you set up a template to do it the first year, then you can reuse that then every year of that. And again, that gives you control around that. In terms of setting up direct debits for savings and for pension contributions and that in January, you could set out what your plan is in January. In January, you know, you mightn't have that much money to save or be thinking about pension contributions, but you can definitely set out your plan to do that, you know.
Yeah.
To see when am I likely to have the sufficient funds to be able to do that, and which ones to look at and how much I can actually afford. January can be a planning month for you, you know.
And if people already have a pension, if people already have a pension in place, it's kind of, instead of just leaving it at the amount that you've been paying in, maybe thinking about, could I afford to put an extra few quid in? Because by the time you retire, it's going to make all the difference.
Yeah, the pension contribution tax relief is probably one of the most valuable tax reliefs out there. And in terms of a savings product, a pension is probably one of the best ones available on the market, okay? Because you get tax relief on the contribution of the value of your pension. It grows tax-free when it's invested in the pension. And then in general, you receive 25% of the value of the pension tax-free on retirement, okay?
Yeah.
There's tax relief nearly in three different places for a pension. And pensions are not just for wealthy people or for people with great jobs. Anybody can contribute to a pension. Pensions don't necessarily have to be complicated or expensive either. They can be quite affordable and cost effective, and they can be quite accessible. Check out, has your employer got a pension scheme? What are the contribution rates? If you contributed a bit more, would the employer contribute a bit more? If the employer doesn't have a pension scheme, set up your own pension and claim the tax relief from it. You know, we see lots of people get involved in online trading recently in that, and pensions can operate in a similar way. The difference is you've got a much longer time horizon on your pension. You can afford to be more adventurous and allow your your pension contribution to grow at a higher rate than necessarily a short-term savings.
Because even if it dips, you're not going to need it for a certain amount of time, and it'll have gone up by the time you need it. Hopefully it will have anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, look, we talk about the definition of investment to me is long-term, okay? And a long-term is kind of 5 to 7 to 10 year time investment. Most people's pension before retirement is longer than that. If you're going to be an investor, to me, you need to be long-term. If you're not a long-term investor, then you're not an investor, you're a speculator, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you need access to your cash within 1 to 3 to 5 years, then the bank is the place for it. It's not going to grow with mineral, unfortunately, but because you need access to it for a specific reason, which links back to, you know, our setting out our financial plan and our objectives. If you've got some cash in the bank, you need to decide, what do you actually want to spend this money on? What is the end goal for it?
I have to say, Enda, I've never spoken to a financial advisor on the show who hasn't recommended pensions. They really say, go get a pension. You'll really, you know, it's the one thing that you need to get, you know, because in this country, God knows what the pension will be by the time we get to retirement, or what age it will be by the time we get there. Just to finish off, Enda, any other tax tips that might help us be a bit more financially fit for 2022?
Yeah, I think looking at any tax credits that are available, maybe from working from home or claiming the benefits from the broadband bills or energy bills, those tax credits can help people if you are working from home. I think the most obvious one, like I said, is the pension tax relief on that, because it's so valuable and because it's related to your salary rather than a fixed amount. There is a cap on it. It's the most simple and effective way of growing the value of your savings over the long term and providing for an income in retirement. You know, it allows you to continue the lifestyle that you had prior to retirement with, you know, a minimum adjustment, having to rely only on the state pension. Well, itself a very valuable benefit, might not necessarily meet everybody's needs.
There used to be a perception, Enda, as well, that financial advisors were for the wealthy. People who had a huge amount of money to invest in all. You're probably seeing, you've just seen more ordinary Joe Soaps coming in, wanting to sort out their finances. And they're probably the people who need the help most, because they probably have less money coming in. So it's about managing your money properly.
Yeah, I maintain everybody needs a financial plan. The difference between whether someone's net worth in terms of their wealth, to me, is pretty irrelevant. You know, 5 million euro to one person can mean as much as 5,000 euro to somebody else. You know, the cost of financial planning, they range from 500 euro for a once-off consultation up to 3,000 euro for a comprehensive plan.
Okay.
But the benefits of financial planning may be, if you decided that you wanted to set up a pension, or you wanted to switch your savings, or switch your life insurance cover, or whatever the case might be, there's lots of savings to be done there by actually paying a fee to a financial advisor, as opposed to, you know, not paying a fee. And
I know, the fee pays for itself through the savings. Yeah, I get you.
It can do. I mean, the reality is you pay for financial advice one way or the other. Paying through a commission is not the end of the world. We're fee-based advisors. But the key to it is actually that you see what you're paying, okay, and transparency, and you understand whether you're getting value for money. That's what's most important. Yeah. And you can decide that then. Financial planning can benefit everybody.
And how can we contact you then if we're interested in getting a plan in place for 2022?
Yeah, so you can go onto our website, which is investwise.ie, and you can do a client inquiry then, or you can get in contact by email at info@investwise.ie.
Okay,
super. We'd be delighted to talk to you.
Great. Enda, nice talking to you today. Enda McGuinness there, financial advisor with InvestWise. It is something for the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.